Jesus doesn't expect us to carry our own burden in life. The Bible says that we are to cast all our anxiety on him, for he cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7. In other words, the Christian life is all up to Christ. Not only is he responsible for getting us to heaven, but he's also responsible for carrying us through life on earth. So let's relax. Take off the heavy load that we put on ourselves. We don't have to deal with our own problems or trials as if we were the only resource available. We have the freedom to take off the backpack and let Jesus carry it. And now one that I can relate to quite a bit. Perhaps you can too, getting rid of the teddy bear. It's nice when you know that no one knows what you're going to say next. Some can be obvious. Anyway, have you ever found yourself saying, "Why do I keep doing that?" Doesn't it seem that the more we try to overcome certain habits, the more we find ourselves doing them? In Romans 7:18, Paul says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh." And you know the familiar verse in Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep have gone astray, each one of us has turned to our own way." The secret, I think, lies in Romans 6:11. "Consider yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Of course, the question then becomes, how do I do that? In the King James Bible, it says, "Reckon yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." And a fellow once told his pastor, who had just preached about that, says, "Pastor, I'm reckoning myself so much, I'm just reckoning myself." Anyway, so it's hard. How do I do that? I know I'm jumping around with verses, but I believe that Paul addresses the same question in Galatians 5:16, which says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh." Now, Paul didn't say that the desires of the flesh would go away, nor did he say that if we clean up the flesh, then we can walk by the Spirit. He was saying that not fulfilling the desires of the flesh is a result of walking in the Spirit. Not fulfilling the desires of the flesh is a result of walking in the Spirit. Imagine a baby in a playpen playing with his teddy bear. He holds tightly to it, and if anyone tries to take it, he screams. He's very attached to it. It's very soft and cuddly. It's always there waiting for a hug. How could we ever shift the child's dependency off of the teddy bear? Easy. Give him a puppy. Put a puppy in the playpen and watch what happens. The puppy is warm. It wiggles and it moves around. It makes sounds. It wags its tail. When he pets it, the puppy licks him back, even seems to like him. Wow, who needs the dumb bear anymore? This puppy is alive. It's a lot more fun than a stuffed animal. With the baby playing with the puppy, all you need to do is reach in and take the teddy bear out. The baby won't even notice it's gone. So it is with bad habits. If you want to let go of a bad habit, then get your eyes on Jesus. We are not able to let go of things until we have something new to hang on to. Again, walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. We have the freedom to neglect our teddy bear because we are so enamored with the puppy. What other freedoms do we have? Yes, we have the freedom to listen to Mr. Good Voice. At the Christian school where I teach, I have a set of story tapes that the class listens to occasionally. Each cassette tape has a Bible story on one side and what is called a true-to-life adventure story on the other side. On the adventure side, sometimes the main character will have a decision to make, and you hear the reasonings in his brain as he thinks about what he should do. And he will hear two different voices giving him opposite advice, Mr. Good Voice and Mr. Bad Voice. Now, depending on the plot of the story, he will listen to one of the voices and make a good or a bad decision. Now, we've been created in such a way that our minds can receive input from both Satan and the world and God and his word. Satan and the world fill our minds with lies or error that appeal to the flesh and to its desires. In the Bible, when it says flesh, it's talking about our sinful nature or whatever what comes natural to us. Appeal to the flesh and its desires. In 1 John 2:16, the Bible says, "For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does not come from the Father, but from the world." The good voice, however, comes from God's word. This is the truth that appeals to the spirit and its desires. Here's what 1 Corinthians 2:12 says. Good job, Michael. I don't even, as you notice, I'm not punching the little button or anything. 1 Corinthians 2:12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And we can choose which voice to listen to." Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You could conclude by this that if the truth sets you free, then error must put you in bondage. Here are some contrasts. We have error and truth. So what if Mr. Bad Voice said to you, "What if you or your children get sick and die?" God's word says, Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing." What if the bad voice says, "You deserve to be treated better than that"? God's word says, "Love does not take into account a wrong suffered." 1 Corinthians 13:5. The bad voice says, "You will not be happy until you get fill in the blank." The Bible says, "I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in." Philippians 4:11. The last bad voice: "You should be very worried." Have you ever worried about the next day? The day before is when we usually worry about the next day. What's here? It comes. It's closer. It's closer. It's coming. "You should be very worried about what might happen tomorrow." And the Bible says, "Do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself." Matthew 6:34. Whether we experience bondage or freedom is determined by which voice we listen to. A great verse to think of is Romans 12:2. Says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And that brings us to our last freedom, the freedom to eat from the cafeteria. Romans 6, 14-15 says, "For sin shall not be your master, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Now, do we believe that when we receive God's gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins, that our sins are totally forgiven? You'd probably say yes. Okay, do you believe that God has enough grace to forgive you for past, present, and future sins? Now, that makes you consider all the possibilities, of course. You may think, "Well, I'm not under the law of sin and death. After all, Romans 8:2 says, 'For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death.' I think I could probably sin and get away with it." Now, that's interesting. Let me just say that thoughts like this are not uncommon to have, especially when people first understand the amazing grace of God. Evidently, the Romans were asking Paul if sinning was allowed. Now, since they are protected, so to speak, by the grace of God, we see his reaction in Romans 6:15. He begins by saying, "What then?" Today you might say, "Are you kidding? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it?" You notice the verse ends by saying, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? There's a difference between sinning and living in sin. I'm trying to look. Oh, one, sinning is committing sin. The other is practicing sin. Now, let me take a short sidetrack here and read a supporting verse found in 1 John 3:9. It says, no one who is born of God practices sin, because God's seed abides in him, and he cannot practice sin because he's born of God. So that's really important to know the difference between a sin and a lifestyle of sin, or a practice of sin, or a continuation. Romans 8 describes the difference between those who profess to be Christians but really miss their old life, and those who are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Imagine the owner of a restaurant with a garbage dumpster in an alley out back. One day you see a homeless man eating out of the dumpster, and you're filled with compassion for him. You say, come on inside and have a meal. But I don't have any money, he replies. No problem, you say. It's all on me. In fact, come in and eat whatever you want, anytime you want. The homeless man is overjoyed, and he begins eating the delicious food, which is better than anything he's ever had in his life. His next question is quite strange, however. He asks, when I'm not eating here, can I still eat from the dumpster? I mean, I figure you're such a nice guy, I'd probably be okay, right? No, the grace of God does not give us the license to sin. Garbage should lose its appeal when we get into the cafeteria line and experience what good food tastes like. And we should lose our taste for sin when we experience Christ and the freedom he brings. Now, up to this point, I've been talking about the Christian life, or perhaps better, living a victorious or fulfilling Christian life. Now, you may be thinking, yeah, I'd like to have a victorious Christian life, but my personal disciplines and resolutions seem to always fall short. And when I hear verses like being crucified with Christ or being dead to sin or walking by the Spirit, I just think, that's for those spiritual people, not me. The spiritual people. All I can say is, when I'm feeling like that, I just pray. Short prayers like, help me, Lord, or I can't do this, or I need you. Prayer must be the beginning. It's the beginning act in salvation and in Christian growth. Prayer acknowledges God as having the answers, not us. Prayer says, Prayer says, I can't, but you can. I've always been encouraged by Philippians 1:6, which says, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'd like to end with a story about a man that God began a good work in years ago. You see, when I was in college, I had the privilege to watch Pete Maravich play in a basketball game against the Seattle Supersonics. He was the best player around at the time, and it was worth the money to watch his amazing basketball skills. At that time, he was paid the most money of any professional athlete, I think, in the world. He could have anything he wanted. His father had convinced him that if he worked hard enough in basketball, he could make so much money that he would not have a care in the world. He would be totally free. Free, without a care in the world. Sounds like a pretty good deal. Seems okay to me, but Pete never felt free. He had many cares and much anxiety. To be brief, the pressure to keep up his reputation led to a lot of stress, and Pete had no wise counsel in his life. He soon became a slave to alcohol, drugs, and wild parties. He did hear the gospel a few times, but he resisted the truth. After just a few years in pro basketball, his fast-paced celebrity life only succeeded in making him suicidal. He quit basketball, decided to put his energies into being a dad and a husband. He did poorly in both categories. He had lived the American dream. He had got to the place where he was supposed to be totally free. And his dad had said, totally free, as his dad had said, but he was totally miserable. And then one night he woke up when he thought he heard someone call his name. He knew it was the Lord, and overcome by emotion, he cried out to God in desperation, and he asked to be forgiven and saved. Pete became a new man. The way he put it was, and I quote, "On that day, God reached down from heaven and killed Pete Maravich. He then raised me up a new creature in Christ Jesus." Now, Pete was a Christian celebrity. He was asked to give his testimony to large groups of people at evangelical crusades, including Billy Graham's. I heard him years ago when he was interviewed by James Dobson on the Focus on the Family radio program. A short time later, I heard what happened to Pete after that interview. You see, Dr. Dobson had asked Pete to play basketball with him and some of the staff at the radio station. He rather reluctantly had agreed, and everyone had fun watching Pete Maravich play. But in the middle of the game, Pete fell to the floor and died. People tried to revive him, but his heart had stopped. It was later found out that he had had a heart defect from youth, and he shouldn't have lived as long as he did. Pete Maravich is now free in every way. When he was saved, he became free from the penalty of sin. During his life, I'm going to assume that he had the same struggles as we all do. And he had to surrender to let Jesus through the Holy Spirit work in his life. He had to learn to float by surrendering his life and letting Jesus hold him up. He had to take off his pack and relax and leave the driving to the Lord. He would need to have been occupied with the puppy instead of hugging the teddy bear of bad habits. I imagine he learned to listen to Mr. Good Voice. And after listening to his testimony, I don't think that going back to the dumpster was much of a temptation at all for Pete. I think he just enjoyed the cafeteria. Pete is now with Jesus, and I believe I'll be able to talk to him one day. So I hope these stories and analogies help you to see freedom in a different way today. Let's remember a final verse. John 8:36. The final verse. It's coming. "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." So let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you gave us true freedom. Help us to learn to depend on Jesus, since we fail so often when we rely on our own strength or talents. As the verse in Romans said, we ask you to renew our minds. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. There will be some music, I think, now. Gabe, come on up.